Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Good evening and welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, thanking God for another day of being here. Guys, we are here through all the stuff that you are seeing out there, all these killings, all these natural disasters, these tragedies. And if you are listening to the sound of my voice, be thankful for another day of life. So I want to say thank you to the men that were on our show for part two. The conversation was amazing. I love hearing when guys have stuff to say, even if we get into a little healthy debate of opinion or feedback. But it was really wonderful to hear men find the topic that we were talking about something substantial. And it was really nice to get appreciation from men who say they appreciate a woman, you know, having their back in certain things. And I feel like this, and if you are new to the game with Katie, I'm not going to put my alliance on any one thing or one group or one person simply because I may be a member of that group or be a part of that special targeted place. You know, just because I'm a woman, I'm not going to say that women are right 100% of the time. Just because I may be a black woman, I'm not going to say that everything that we do as blacks, we don't make mistakes, or that there aren't criminals in our race. That's not what this is about. This is about being right, handling what's right, trying to do the right thing, trying to get to the bottom of what problems are that we can control and do our part. One step, one person, one deed at a time. So with that being said, I want to say, again, thanks to all of you that have been here making this little, my little on-the-air lounge, as I call it, a place you find special. Now, with that being said, I do want to bring up some interesting news that I just received, but we are definitely 30,000 plus in listening. But what was new and exciting for me is that in our stats, I found out that we have listeners globally in Belize, Croatia, Africa, UK, and Australia. And little by little, more things are coming from, and London, as a matter of fact. So there are some places I didn't even, it's hard when you think World Wide Web or internet. A lot of times I tend to forget that doesn't just apply to the United States. So to see that we have a percentage of our listeners or our listener total that are streaming it out there, even if it is a small percentage, that's amazing for me. So, you know, congratulations to all of you listeners out there that are doing your part and taking away something from this show to do by your communities. So I want to thank a few people, because even when I don't hear from them here, they are behind the scenes helping me stay encouraged and stay positive and fill me with their feedback on certain things and constantly reassuring that the things we speak about here is helping them out there. And then they're doing their own amazing parts in their area. So Kim Milton, all of you that have been with me since this inception of the show, she has been a force of a human being in dealing with women, empowering women, you know, talking about our faults that we can improve on. And she's just amazing, amazing as a mother, amazing as a sister, amazing as a networker, amazing as an activist. I mean, she's just all around. So if you're out there, Kim, thank you for everything that you have done and continue to do. I want to say thank you to a couple of special people. Christina Vera, I think you guys heard me say thank you to her. She's an Uber driver. This lady, she everyone she picks up, she puts an extra effort into her job above and beyond any pay, any tips. This woman, she stops for the elderly. She helps handicaps. She's very sweet and patient. If people say that, you know, please don't leave, I'm running a little behind. She's so amazing. And she doesn't ask for anything, you know. So people like that get my attention. I want to say thank you to Christina Vera. I want to say thank you to Terry Banks. He hasn't been here, but he's been one of our substantial male input voices, and you've heard him. Very profound, very intense. He also is behind the scenes and in his neighborhood, being an amazing person, an amazing individual. So I got to thank people like that. Muhammad, if you're out there listening, thank you. Trayvon, you guys were here, thank you. Joe, I thank you for your input when you come on. To all my late people out there still hanging in on the Edge Listeners Lounge, we're going to be restarting up real soon, and I appreciate that. And to all of you that are still sitting here, I want to thank you, because we are embarking on some changes, some new stuff, and I really, really, really want to let you know that when it gets there, you have been an intricate part of the things that we're trying to do to make this bigger and better. So thank you for that. So now let's get into what we're doing here. When we come back from commercial and from giving our resident artists, young boys, their listening shot, I want to let you know that we are concluding of what I've found to be a very critical three-part series. Mental health on a whole is important for us to try to keep balance, because, you know, it's just as important as medical health being okay. The other thing is that as much as our physical health is important, it seems that mental health holds more of a punch in determining how things fall out or stay together. For even physical, if you're mentally off, if you're stressed out, it impacts the physical as well. So it's an intangible thing that holds a big power punch that affects everything, from the way that you feel about yourself to the way that you impact others. And if you're a parent, you run the risk of your behavior being mirrored by the children you're trying to protect. And if you have an issue with yourselves in knowing how to balance whatever pain you're going through, it's going to manifest in ways that is going to be dangerous and damaging to people that you love and people that you don't know, and more so to yourself. So with that being said, tonight I'm actually going to be touching on one of the group Untitled's four tribute songs to mental health concerns. And when I get back after a word from our sponsor, we're going to continue with Shut Up and Be a Man Part 3, the conclusion. Tonight we're speaking on how men, when you don't have your game together, when you are not on your track properly, your unaddressed mental health struggles affect us in a unique way, because it knocks us off our game and forces us to sort of pick up a torch and dabble in a part of raising our children, leading our communities, balancing ourselves. That is not our job. So we're trying to do it with whatever we can think of, without it being right, because it's your place to lead where you need to lead. It's your place to put your unique and important male input into the lives of our children, the lives of the community, where it is. And if you're not on your game, our communities, our whole zen pretty much is off. And then we as women who already are balancing so much, then is chipping away even more of ourselves, and we're just as important to be your right hand, to be your second in command, and to be your equal partner in this. So you need to hear from us tonight to let you know that we real women support you and we got your back, but we need you to start understanding that the worth we see in you, you have to see in yourself, and you have to preserve that and restore it at all costs. So tonight we're going out with Untitled. We're going out with Alliance. So you know, this is what I explained to you, that this is one of the tributes to mental health, where these boys are speaking about the different stages of depression, of bipolar, of anxiety, of kids and people feeling like no one's really listening to them when they're going through this. But this is the stage in which, even though they're feeling depressed or even though they're feeling down or they're battling these things, there's still a good support place, a good support team in place for them to be able to still have hope in overcoming it. This is called Alliance. This is dedicated to everybody that's out there, especially you men, that is struggling and looking for support. This is us telling you that we're here, okay? And after these guys, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back to continue Shut Up and Be a Man, Part 3, tonight's subtitle, His Silence, Her Burdens, coming from women. Here we go.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I lost every battle. I didn't win the fight. When it felt like I was at the end,
at the end.
He shone the light. When I couldn't breathe, you were there. When I couldn't sleep, you closed my eyes. I lost every battle. But he
is on the light. It's when I couldn't see you were there.
That's true.
So got me through this bear. It's when I needed fixing, you repaired. Supported me on my lows. Never giving up hope. Funded me on my goals and helped me never feel alone. I'm talking family and friends. I'm talking bonds that never end. I'm talking colors when they blend. And the ones that are there when I depend. Not the ones who are there and just pretend.
I lost every battle. I didn't win the fight. When it felt like I was at the end.
At the end.
You shine the light. When I couldn't breathe, you were the air. When I couldn't sleep, you closed my eyes. I lost every battle, but here you shine the light.
You lended me a hand when I fell to my knees and couldn't stand. When I lost control and almost crashed, you grabbed goodwill and set my path. Taught me to grow up from my past, move on from those who wouldn't lie. Take your time and don't move fast. Got a fam who always told me that, and a mom that's always had my back.
I lost every battle. I didn't win the fight. When it felt like I was at the end,
at the end.
He shone the light,
yeah.
When I couldn't breathe, you were the air. When I couldn't sleep, you closed my eyes.
Close my eyes.
I lost every battle. But he shone the light,
yeah.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on The Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to On The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On The Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, and if you are joining us for the first time and you haven't been here for the beginning of this series, let me give you a slight little recap and then let you know where we're at. Part one, we spoke about, this series was started on the Catalyst article of Christian Keys coming forth to speak on, an unnamed, not assailant yet, because he's claiming that he's reaching out for help because he's trying to avoid the advances of these higher-ups that have his career in their hands, that for years on end since he began alliances with these people, that they've been trying to get him to conform to certain things and to submit to certain outrageous requests, which he's not trying to do, that he feels that his integrity is being attacked. And he's been trying to reach out to tell people about it, but everyone that he can reach out to is a part of the people that's blackmailing him pretty much or coming up with it. So here's the situation. So with that being said, Christian Keys is one of many other things that has been coming out, as we know that there's been so many more men that are coming out and finally outbursting or outcrying about suppressed stuff that they're going through. Pretty much men have been told for years, hey, no, there's no such thing as, you know, guys getting raped by some woman. Are you kidding me? Did you see the size of her breasts? Did you see what's going on, what she's working with? And, you know, it's like I said this before in a previous show that I did about when we called it Be a Man About It, part one. God made everybody with feelings, emotions, nerve endings, organs that beat, things that you feel, anger. Man turned it around and said, hey, if you're a guy, like, come on, dude, you're not supposed to feel that. You don't, when you get a little cut, it's just a little blood, you know, wipe it up. It could be a gash with a, 6 inches deep and you need 60,000 stitches. But, you know, if you're a guy, you don't get to feel it that long. You just like, you know, hold your breath and pour some burning whiskey in an open wound and you should be just fine. You know, this type of thing. Meanwhile, if it's something that happened to them, say they were abducted and forced to have sex with someone that they didn't appreciate, or some crazy demented person did it, or if they were hurt by something non-sexual, like being abandoned by their father or their parents, like being told they were nobody, like having no socialization because people were judging them for something that happened to them. They weren't allowed to be able to say, I want to cry, I need a hug, I need some help, I need support. So you can say all that, they can smile and do all these things, but at the end of the day, those feelings, the damage to these things are still there and need to come out. They need to be addressed, they need to be healed. And if you are not allowed to expose it and speak of it and cry about it and release on it, you're still dealing with it. So now for years, men have been told, get out of here. You open up with that. Your manhood is done. You're not a dude. You're not a guy. You're not this. That is the stupidest thing ever. And men, you have to stop trying to say that's because you're a woman. No, it's stupid. It's stupid because are you stopping to ask yourself why there's so many rapists out there? What not? And these guys are not even just guys that just like girls. They're coming out with things that because they're angry, because they're going to hurt somebody else that they can get over on before they get hurt again. Are you stopping to ask yourself why your sons, brothers, and fathers and uncles can't have healthy relationships because you made women the enemy? Because you told them, nope, no guy gets held down. Are you kidding me? If you don't have 1,000 women in one time, you're not a man. And you don't treat the women like they're queens. You don't treat them like they're equals. They're property. They're negotiable. Because if you just have one person, then you're whipped. If you are faithful to your wife and faithful to your girlfriend, you're whipped. You're a sissy. Ah, you don't know what you are. If you turn down a woman's advances because you're just not into her, oh, my God, it doesn't matter if you're into her. You're going to hit that. Oh, you must be gay. It's always something at the end of the day where another man has put a man down and he has a hard time coming forth. Now, the reason why this final segment is important is because the first two segments, part one and part two, was us trying to get to the bottom of this. If this is now a society that no longer shames people for speaking about needing mental health, whereas it used to be a taboo, dirty little secret, keep it in the corner. Let's keep the crazy guy in the back and don't ever let the guests see him, or let's, you know, don't say that. When rape was not something you could say because you weren't going to get justice about it anyway, whether you were a female or a male. So you don't say things like that. We'll take care of it quietly. Where you don't talk about needing help as a man because that means you're not a provider. You're not doing what you need to do. So nowadays, and the thing is, let's take away the overall society, like everybody involved, and just talk about the men in society. When I talk to men and I say, why would you ridicule somebody who's a man that's saying that they need help? Ah, please, that's not needing no help. And I had an older gentleman from, you know, I'm going to say the elder community say, men don't do things women don't approve of. And no matter what you say, women run the world because we'll dress a certain way. And if it looks stupid to a man, we would do it and make it acceptable if a woman thought it was cool. Okay. So that's one thing. Anything a woman finds embarrassing, we won't do. So if you don't want a guy to look like a girl, if you don't want a guy putting two earrings in, then you ladies are the ones that's going to have to guide him and tell him. Now, let's forget the fact that these are grown men. So if you know that you look pretty stupid in an orange squeeze pants with your big bulky thighs or something like that that don't look so great, or you look really silly with a mohawk rooster haircut, but you think that a girl you're trying to impress likes it, you're the one that has to wear that. So whether she likes it or not, if you think it was dumb when you saw it, but you did it anyway because you thought you're going to get some play, you can't blame the woman. But okay, let's just leave that. So I asked this person, well, then let me ask you this. The next thing. Back then, if a woman said, which we do, hey, wait a minute, what do you mean somebody hurt you like that? What do you mean your father told you that you're a loser, you'll never be anything? What do you mean this person said that and that's the reason why you feel the way you do? No real person would say that to someone. No real person would shame you for your pain. As a real woman, we're telling you that we got your back. If you need help, go get help, because we don't see you as anything less than a man. If we're saying that as women, according to this person who says that women run the world and women are the reason why men do things, then if we're saying we're perfectly okay with you going to get help and that there's no shame in the game and that we don't see any less of you or think of any less of you, why are men still not going forth or admitting that they have problems or calling their anger management issues an issue? Why are they not admitting that they need help and that there is an issue? Okay, that was a little bit further then. Let's talk about post-coronavirus or during the coronavirus. Even more than ever, society opened up to saying, we know that mental health is a serious concern and do not be ashamed and we embrace it. We're even opening up more outreach programs for you. We're even offering more solutions. We're even telling you, hey, check on your neighbors, check on your friends, look at your family members, don't let them go. If you see any signs, be there for them. You never know what's going on. And with COVID going on, everybody's feeling a certain way now. So listen, we got you. We even have online virtual therapists that you can see from the comfort of your home. No one's going to judge you. With all of this opening and acceptance and awareness, men are still walking around going, nah, you need to see a therapist. Yeah, what's going on with that? What's the matter? You need this. Okay, that's the next thing. With even now, homosexuality and the LGBT community is as open as they come out in the day. It can't be that you think anybody is going to shame you or say you're gay. That's just, I'm just saying that it's open now more than it was before. Okay, so now here's my situation. I asked this question now in part two, because my take on this question was absolutely yes. So I asked this question as the pre-topic and the segment discussion question. Do you feel, the first question I ask is, why do you think if all of these things are now no longer an embarrassment or taboo and everybody's embracing needing to address mental health concerns and, you know, resolve struggles, everybody's doing this and it's not the dirty little secret anymore, why do you think that till this day men are still hesitant to embrace, acknowledge, or address mental health struggles? Okay? Everybody's like, well, because, you know, women, one guy actually said, a couple of guys were like, well, because people look at you funny and women, they'll embarrass you and call you all sorts of names if you don't come forth. And I'm saying, no, it's not the women that's doing it, because I brought up something that's important. It's men. The follow-up question I had, which was for part two, was, do you think that if the male community openly and unconditionally supported and embraced and acknowledged their fellow brother who's crying out for help and just took him in, supported it and say, listen, go get help and we got your back. We're with you every step of the way. We don't think any less of you. Your male card is not revoked. You are good. Go get help because we need you back on your game. If the male community openly embraced them, would they be more willing and less hesitant to go and address their stuff sooner? And would we see a real crack and step and productive step in the right direction? That was the question that I had for part two. I personally believe yes, because women are already telling you we don't see you any worse than that. No woman who's a human being, no real woman is going to tell a man who's crying, who's coming forth, who's really saying, I need help, I'm hurt, this person traumatized me, this person held me down and made a tragedy of me and took my choice away, is ever going to ever say, oh, get out of here, oh, you're soft, ah, ooh, what's up? Not one person. I had a guest on here yesterday that said women absolutely wouldn't, and they, no real woman absolutely would. At all. Because one of the things that I started to see, which showed me more than ever, when Christian Keys came forth, for those of you who have been with me from the start of the series, this is going to sound like a repeat thing, but I'm going to say it for those who haven't. When Christian Keys finally opened up and said that he's been holding this in for years, he's been dealing with it, trying his best to resolve it for years, and he finally opened up. Yes, he had negative comments. Of course, he knew that was coming. However, here's what I found very interesting. In all of the, when there were negative comments coming from both genders, both women and men, when women's negativity was coming forth, not one person actually attacked him on the women's side about coming forth with what he said was going on. Not one woman made a shame out of the things he was alleging happened. What they did say was, oh, cry me a river, you're rich, why don't you go to therapy and handle it? You can hire a lawyer, you can find somebody, you're rich. Nobody listens to us when we talk about things like that. That was the content and the mannerisms of which women were bringing forward when they were being negative. Now let's talk about what men were talking about. Oh, get out of here. So you must have really had a problem with it because you still was working with it. And by the way, why aren't you naming who it is? It didn't matter that this man said, I'm not naming who it is right now because it's not the time for me to do it just yet. All I could say is that when it comes out, you will find out that it's true. You will recognize the person's voice because since I realized all these years, nobody was coming forth to hurt me. I had to take measures to try and protect myself when it came down to me coming forth. I have hidden pen recorders that took place in every meeting. I had several things in there that nobody knew were actually spyware or, you know, spy equipment that was recording visually and audio recordings, so that when I came forth, I had proof to back it up. I have copies that I've sent everywhere, and when you guys hear who it is, you will recognize the voice, because that's what's going to be. So now everybody's getting on this man, mad at him, because he's not revealing who the person is. That's not what's important. Are you hearing what this man is saying is going on? And all you men could come off with, because it's very uncomfortable for you to hear. Listen, I had three people who are normally on here, who normally speak about things like this openly, as men say, oh, nope, I'm not getting on that. Nope, I don't want to hear about some guy touching another guy or doing this. And that is not even what this man was saying. But it's not even happening to these guys. And I'm telling you, about 5 to 6 guys did not want to be on this show because they thought that I was going to be touching on the details of what was being said, and that there was some sexual penetration or you know, conjugal stuff going on. That wasn't the issue. I was bringing up what he was accusing them of to show that more and more men are coming forward, even though they were forced to live under that age-old golden rule about you don't say that as a man. You don't say that happened to you. These men are saying, regardless to what, I've held it in. I followed the bro rules. I did all the stuff. But this pain is killing me, and I have nowhere to go, and I need to say it. I need to get it out so I could heal and get back to normal or feel some sort of something happen. And what's happening is, these men are coming out and saying it. Some of them are outright crying and saying, I need help, and forget what y'all think. So obviously, the bro code isn't working anymore, and it didn't work when it was working. So that was what I brought this up for, not to talk about the gory details. So now let me finish. I told you that the women only said those things. The men started off with, well, then who is it then? If you want us to even believe you, who is it then? If you found out who it was, what are you really going to do for this man? Are you going to turn around and go, yes, absolutely, I got your back. No. You just want to know who it is because we as civilians are fascinated with gossip in Hollywood. And that's what it is. So you knowing who this man's pain source is will do what for you? That was the first thing. The second thing that they said to this man is, yeah, right. You obviously must like it on the down low because you didn't stop. You could have got out. You're kind of famous. Just you. Why would that be what you think? Because the first thing and the main thing and the bottom line common ground that men have a problem with is that somehow, some way, anything dealing with softness, not being hard, not purposely and testosterone rich, you know, breaking your arm off so you could say, yup, this is my war wound, you know, that type of thing. You guys are so terrified that somehow, some way, somebody else victimizing you is going to take away your manhood. Somebody is that something that you have to do that people normally associate in your misogynistic world is a chick thing to do or a woman's thing to do or the way women handle it or a woman on her period or a woman in menopause or one of these things. Anything that you guys will do that is a normal human reaction, but in your stupid world, you made it a girl reaction. You guys are terrified to do. Now, we gave you men parts 1 and 2. Now I'm going to tell you, and I told y'all in the pre-broadcast video short that even though you may not hear from live women on the panel tonight, a lot of women already wrote me in and told me what their feedback or their experiences or what they've observed from their standpoint or what they personally experienced with the men that they love or people in their lives that are loved ones to them, maybe not romantically linked, but someone that they would support nonstop that they love that way. So tonight you're going to be hearing me and my vast experience on different people in my life, different males in my life, as well as what our female listeners are saying, okay? So let's start with this. In addition to the damage that's inflicted upon men when they're forced to suppress their trauma or pain, various manners in which these things manifest, because even though you're saying keep it quiet, they may not say it out loud, but their actions are saying a whole lot of fury. So you're not shutting anything up. You're just making the rest of the world take the punishment that they should be given on the people who did it to them. Okay, so now they are manifesting themselves in ways that definitely poses a threat to either the sanity of themselves or other people, or the physical safety of themselves or other people, or both, to each person. Now, for the women in the lives of these men, there's an added burden of trying to keep things balanced while their men are not able to do their part, to pick up their own torch in this battle and go forward, and that's it. So now, with that being said, we already discussed and established that pretty much, guys, no matter what it is that you do or don't do when it comes down to certain things, you all live by one rule, that you must comply with the golden rule of manhood, quote, end quote, and that is never let them see you break. Never show any signs of anything that people can't, you know, compare when you flex your muscles, when you could bang on your chest, where you could sound big and tough. You can never react to anything, no matter what the situation, no matter what the pain level, no matter what the situation is. You never need help from a woman. You never let them see you break. You never show weakness, and weakness by your definition. You never show softness. That is a problem. Because everybody is supposed to have a blend of everything to make you whole. However unique way that you express it, we all have a little bit of everything in us. Now, for those of us that are believers, you know everybody has a bit of man, kind of man tendencies or feelings or blend, as well as every man has a little bit of sensitivity in them, because God took a rib from a man to make a woman, and that's just the way that it goes. For all you atheists out there that are going to be like, yeah, right, what's like, miss me with it. Not today. I'm a believer, you're not. We respect each other's boundaries, great. So that's the situation. So we all got a little bit of everything so that we could sort of kind of connect with each other. Now, one of the things I found disturbing when I was doing a little bit of research to back up some stuff here is, according to the American Psychological Association and a bunch of other people in the medical, in the psychiatric and psychology field with different publications and things to that effect, adolescent girls are more likely to have a higher prevalence of depression, anxiety, eating disorders, and suicidal ideas. Now, I need you to hear this because it's important. Suicidal ideas than adolescent boys. Adolescent boys are more likely to have anger issues, engage in high-risk behavior, substance abuse, and actually commit suicide. Grown adult men have more tendencies to get involved with high-risk chaotic behavior, substance abuse, anger management, fights, and commit suicide a little more. And they tend to not, with adolescent girls, they tend to go through it more but keep it inside, whereas adolescent boys are more likely to act out. Same goes with their adult counterparts. Women are more likely to be at a higher risk of depression, anxiety, self-esteem issues with you know, insecurities. I did say anxiety, feel like committing suicide, but they will internalize it. I'm going to explain a little bit reason why later. They'll internalize it. Men will feel it, will deal with it. They have higher instances of actually committing suicide, as a matter of fact. One of these psychology publications said that men are 3.5 times more likely to commit suicide than women are. Okay? And men, when it comes down to women actually seeking our help, here's the situation. Women won't immediately say that we need help, but we're quicker to open up when we do say, when we do open up and say we need help. Whereas men will hold on to it forever And when they do seek help, still have a hard time opening up and getting to what they need to get to. So now think about the vast differences in that, because tonight when we're speaking about everything from a woman's standpoint, you need to understand. We already know that women in society, we're sort of expected to do a lot more than men are, even though men are considered more capable of doing certain things because it's a man's world type thing. Here's the situation. When women have to stand there and women have to be mothers, we know when if motherhood deals with anything, we have to wear many hats. But even with a husband in place, with being a mom, we also take in our husbands as part of the people that we nurture and take care of. Not necessarily raise, even though sometimes some men's behavior, they're like big kids in men's bodies. But, you know, even if you have a pretty much grown, mature mate, husband, even then, you know, women still sort of hold things down and keep things in. Men go off to work, men do this, and I'm not speaking any little house in the prairie type things, I'm just saying. So men still do different things differently than women. It's the little details that women find important, men will be like, oh, I didn't see what the problem was, and no problem with that. Oh, well, you know. That's the way, that's why men discipline differently. Women, we have the umbilical thinking, and believe me, I'm a mom, and I could tell you as strong as I am, there's a lot of things that I could tell you right now that if my children's father were alive and doing the right thing, he would definitely not have allowed half of the stuff to go as long as it did if he was the one in charge of that. So I definitely see where, you know, men are important and the differences that they have. Why? We women carried the babies. We felt them from beans on, every little thing, before men had to actually get the connection and see them. You know, we already sort of have our spiritual connection in that respect that way. So we definitely will let them get away with a little more. We definitely connect a little more. And that's just it. So that's one. Now, with that already being sort of an expectation or an implied thing, anything women have to admit to not being able to handle, which they automatically feel, oh, you're a woman, you've done it before, what's the problem? We spoke about that before. We're not allowed to say that we can't handle it. Because when we do, and we even do it in a responsible manner, as we spoke about, we're not allowed to say that we can't handle raising our children, so we want to give them up for adoption or give them to their fathers to raise without getting ostracization in that respect. Or people saying, what? What's her problem? Or getting all the stuff. So just think, that would attribute to a lot of reasons why they say women will internalize their pain a lot more, because we're not allowed to say that we can't handle it. You guys are not allowed to say that you have a problem. So everything that we go through, we have to deal with it. And we've got to still say, guess what? We don't matter right now because our kids are hurting and our man is hurting and the family needs help. We don't get to say that even though we're feeling it like somebody is burning us and ripping us up inside at the same time. Now, guys, you need to hear this. Right now, I'm not even going to be talking about women as a single mom. I'm speaking about us as your partner. I'm speaking about us as the one that's holding you down. Now, if this is the husband and wife, legally married, definitely up there. But even if we're in a domestic partnership where I am there with you and I've been there every step of the way, or even your girlfriend before, if there's a real woman in your life, that real woman is going to tell you, whatever you're going through, I'm going through it too. Whatever you're feeling, I feel it too. Whatever you feel that you can't handle, tell me and I'll see what I could do to keep you up. If you're falling, I'm going to hold you up like you hold me up. There's nothing you can't tell me unless you cheated on me. There's nothing you can't tell me. If you're hurting, I'm hurting, and I need to get you better, because that's what we women do. We get up there and we say, hey, wait a minute. I don't like the fact that you're, for you, the person I love like that, I don't like those wrinkles on your shirt. I'm not saying every woman will pick it up and go, let me iron it, but she'll damn sure tell you, listen, take that off, go do something else. Because we want you to be at your best, because that's what we do. We love you like that. Okay? All you ratchet people across the board, do not call here tonight trying to go, yeah, well, you know, what about this? No, no jokes today. This is not comedy hour. You men are hurting. And when you hurt, you have no place to go. Not because there isn't a place to go, but because your own community is telling you it is not a good thing to do. And not any reasons that even make any damn sense. Because clearly if you worked, half these guys wouldn't be blowing their head out. Don Cornelius, Freddie Prinze, Michael Beasley crying out for help. Are men being emasculated in so many ways? Gold digging women who don't know how to be people anymore because their self-esteem is gone because all this other stuff, which is another thing. But all of these things that you guys have to face, first of all, before we even get into the unique added stuff that black men have to go through, men, period. You guys got the weight of the world on your shoulders. And if you are not in a place where you've got all the financial ease to go with it, like, you know, your rich CEO, Fortune 500 CEO owner that just passes out trust funds and jobs like it's nothing and, you know, cover your indiscretions because you're going to go to Harvard and get that degree and all that stuff. The average person doesn't have that. The average person doesn't even have Hollywood. But if people in Hollywood are telling you that with all their money, they're more unhappy than ever, that their rights are being taken away, and because I'm a man, I can't even say that. Then you got people going, well, if you got money, you couldn't possibly have problems. But that's where it happens even more, because who are these people that are able to get away with victimizing all of these people? Let's even talk about the women victims that are out there. Who are these people but the rich and powerful, the ones that could pay off people to look the other way, the ones that could pay off people to shut the law down, the ones that can bribe people in the ministries, people in the law, people in the police departments to say, hey, that never happened and I don't know what law you're talking about. So my thing is, when to come into the defense of Christian Keys, was if a woman who's an average Joe or average Jane woman in a regular old neighborhood goes to a local regular old police department and says that a regular old Joe raped her or hurt her or sexually assaulted her, how hard is it, America, people, anybody who knows anything, for a woman to get justice or even anybody to take what she's reporting seriously then? Can you imagine what a famous black man in Hollywood talking about a famous billionaire or higher-up producer? Accusation is going to get him? So I got people going, that's because they're ragging him because he's not being honest. He didn't really say who it was, so they got everybody guessing. So he's supposed to be ostracized because your nosy self wants to know who he's talking about? And because you're assuming it, but you can't prove it and you're frustrated about it, what he went through doesn't matter? So with guys not being able to say anything, with society saying that men lead the world, so you can't say anything. And what do you mean that this little lady was able to subdue you and rape you by force? Have you heard of paralytic drugs being injected into somebody? Have you heard of maybe a gun, no matter how big and strong you are as a guy, if you are on the receiving end of a bullet, you are weakened? Have you heard of chloroform and three other people holding you down and hog-tying you so that this freaky psychotic person in the form of a female body wants to have her way with you because she couldn't take the fact that as pretty as she thinks she is and as much of a man as you are that you said no? You guys, let me tell you something. I am a rape survivor, okay? I'm an incest survivor also. So I can tell you the pain, the feeling of not having a choice, the feeling of self-worthlessness, the anger, the confusion, the rage that you have for that person, the time that you blame yourself for just being in the wrong place at the wrong time, but then turning around and knowing very well that you did nothing wrong, but you still feel that way and you're trying to figure it out all at once while you're dealing with this pain. Forget the physical pain by itself. That's not the part that stays with you and ruins you. It's the fact that that person got to go on with their life. And you have to be dealing with why did you do it and how could you laugh about it and why did you pick me and what was it about me that made you come to me. So if a woman is going through that and society, quote, unquote, allows us to say it and it still doesn't work until you go through years sometimes of therapy, of repeating it, of going it over and remembering that you are a person, that you're worth something, and that they were the monster, they were the people who did it. What do you think a man is going to go through? That's it for me. Once again, you know, being the sound person for y'all. Now you need to hear from us. We don't blame you. You are still a man. If you say something about it, more so than ever, you have to get help. You have to solve this. You have to be back on your game to be the person in the front throne that you are supposed to be. Women, if you're listening to me and you are taking from what I'm saying about this man needing to be in his leadership role as a dismissal or a disrespect or a minimizing of our importance and role or that we're being submissive to men, then you definitely are not understanding a damn thing of what I'm saying. And if you need some clarification, hit me up in the inbox and I'll explain it to you on your own time. Rightfully so, men are supposed to be in place to first lead and provide. Does it mean that women are any less important or we don't have input or we don't know what to do? Because we've already proven it, sister, on the way down, that even with all the power men have, if we gave them 72 hours to figure out what we have to do in just 1 hour a day, they couldn't get it. And rarely have you seen a culture where men are the village caretakers. They may be the leaders, the decision makers, the protectors, the providers, but men don't raise the kids. Men don't try to figure out how to make, sanitize, and glorify that big heap of a bloody dragon that they ran out and killed and dragged back to the house. Women do that. So we have already proven what we're worth, sister. You don't have to go out there and blow a horn, because even men know it. Whether they say it out loud or not, they know. But now let's show you the real, real strength that we have, the real power we have. The most critical thing is the support they need to hear. They need to hear it over and over again. They need to hear that if you're using us as a reason for not going out there and to handling your business, then we're telling you we already got your back. It's not us. Now let me tell you what we have to deal with. And ladies, tonight I want to ask you to call in and say what it is, if you have anything that you personally experiencing with a man you love, whether it's a blood relative or a close friend or actually the intimate partner, which is always the biggest one, or your sons. You need to call in and let these men know that you got their back and what it is that they're being foolish about, because they have to understand they are important. Men, here's what you're leaving us with if you don't understand that you have to get past this and break this silly generational title of a cycle of garbage that's happening with you. When you are not in your rightful place as the proper father to lead our children, we women have to add on yet another thing on our woman many hats plate to try to solve and to maneuver and to keep in check and balance. But we can't do a man's job not being a man. So we have to try to figure out how to do it from the way we women believe a man that's good should be. So let me tell you that as effective as it can be, there's still a big, big, big gap in what it's supposed to be. And I'll give you an example. You ever had a car tire blowout and you didn't really have a full spare in the trunk? What you had was a donut. The donut does the job to get you to the gas station and maybe go a little bit further. But at the end of the day, you still need to change that tire and put the original fully replaced renewed or restored proper tire back in place to get that vehicle moving the way it needs to be. It's been way too long of this society being driven around on donuts. Because the people in charge that supposed to have led you into what's supposed to be a strong, well-rounded, well-together and confident leader, man, protector, provider, was too busy dealing with their own mental breakdowns from whatever era they came from and whatever really messed up leader they had, who didn't know any better. Because remember, back in the day, there was very little that people knew. People came to start settling or building this country being 14-year-old husbands, having to build it from scratch, and nobody gave them a manual and told them what they're supposed to do. They had to figure it out and what they thought it meant to be men. But if you were a good person, you try to instill some values. This is what we women are doing every day. We're handling everything for you. And we're telling you, hey, if we're the reason why you're not doing it because you think we're going to think less of you, we don't. Go out there and do it. We need you to feel good. We need you to feel as great as we see you. When you don't do it, we're tired already. We're already depressed. We're already feeling down. We already feel like we're out of options. And we can't say that, because if you're down and we break down, everybody goes down. We respect you. We exalt you. We not worship you. You're not getting that from me. But we believe in you. And we want you to be your best. And we're doing everything we can to show you that. When you're down, we try to build you up. If you can't get the money or the big fancy house all at once like you thought, we don't put you down for it. We say, okay, better luck with the next job. But this crazy, let's say, golden rule you guys are living under is doing a disservice to you first and everybody around you. You guys got it so bad that we have to watch you be in pain. Everything's swelling up and you're too busy trying to go look at some manly solution. Your fingers are split open and swelling up. You're going to go, oh, it's nothing. It's just a little thing. Let me go in the back and go get some Windex and throw on there. Oh, all we need is a little bit of iodine. And, you know, that big rusty buzzsaw that went through me is just going to bring it all together. It's fine. So rather than go to a doctor who has everything that you need, plus can sew it up and actually make your skin look as new as it can be, you'd rather have a big old keloid for the rest of your life because you done put some Jack Daniels on it. Because that's what a man would do. Okay? And we have to sit back and in that same moment while we're watching you in pain, bleeding out, scared to death, do whatever. We have to figure out how we're going to say it so that you don't feel diminished, even though we're not even coming at it with a diminished point of view for you. So we have to figure out how can we still make you feel like you're the big daddy we're telling you you are, but you really don't believe yourself. And we got to make sure, because we're the only person that you can actually wail off on and know that we'll still be there. So we have to try to figure out a way to let you know that we're coming to you with the most uncomfortable thing you got to hear, but we're coming to you with full love. And we still got to figure out how to proofread, copyright, copy proof, and all this other stuff before we could actually say, babe, I love you. Please go to the doctor. Oh, wait. And now with the added thing, mind you, we got to do all this stuff in that one moment. Your boys are in the back watching all this happen. They're watching to see how daddy handles it because they just fell off the bike the other day, wanted to cry, and they wanted to know what would their daddy, who's their hero, think of it. And we have to sit there and go, listen, your dad is actually in pain. Okay? Don't let him fool you. If you're in pain, you're allowed to say, I'm in pain. You're allowed to cry. Now, I'm not saying that we tell them you could cry and stay crying all that time. At some point, hey, okay, you felt it. I got your back. Let's go try to work it out and pick it up from here. How about that? Men can't even say, I'm scared because I have test results that may reveal that I might have a terminal illness. Or it may reveal that I might be losing my ability to do something with a certain limb or a certain part of my body or my ability to play basketball. They're scared to death. They're sad that it could happen, but they're not allowed to embrace that or say it that way, because as soon as they say that out loud, we have to have the pain of watching them try to qualify it with some follow-up statement that actually would be acceptable in bro world. And they would forbid you from saying that out loud if you're trying to go ask somebody else who you think could join forces in helping them feel supported. Now, with that being said, here's a couple of things that came up. Michael Beasley, NBA player, I think he's retired now, got in trouble. Got in trouble because every time since he got famous, somebody tweeted something wrong about him against his character. He, in his way of being, he had no help from parents growing up because one parent was not in the picture and the other one was doing three jobs to hold him and his siblings down. They were constantly evicted and got a new place again. Then they were going from shelter to street to home, then off the home to the street to the shelter. It bothered him. He couldn't do anything. He was always an oversized kid for his age. He started playing basketball as an escape in the school parks with people. I think he said Kevin Durant was one of his sparring partners in the sense of the word. And that sort of took his mind off of it for a little bit. But by the time he was 11, he hit the streets because basketball wasn't soothing him anymore. So he hit the streets and got in trouble. He got high off the trouble and the chaos. But then by 14, he was like, wait a minute, I'm getting into too much trouble. So now I've got to make a life decision here. Either it's streets and jail or death, or I can get myself together. So he got himself together, ultimately led to being picked for professional basketball. Then he got there. Oh, well, this is a great thing. But now he forgets being famous means you're not a private person. You're not even a person. Everybody's got you under their microscope. Everybody's watching every little thing you do, and they're going to make up their version of what they saw you do. And when that comes out, you got to go and see some head person to tell you, why did you do that? You can't say that. Even if that's what they said, you got to be quiet. Don't say that. Pick this up. Delete that post. Don't say that again. You're in trouble. You're penalized. Let me take this off. Let's go. And this man is like, but that hurt me, and I can't say anything. But this person is telling me, shut up and take it, and I'm upset. And you're telling me if I'm upset, it's a penalty. So then he led over to do what he thinks guys are acceptable of. That's let's go have as much sexual parties with drugs and, you know, partying and drinking all day. Let's do that. But then at these parties, under the influence, some other things happen. A regular fight turns into an extreme fight because now that he's got a way to release and he looks good doing it, he could get out more than what the problem at hand was. But wait a minute, folks. He's got to go back and answer for that. All the way to the point that now he's no longer in there. And then after that, he's sort of been told, don't say anything after you leave either. So he said, I had to watch everybody from every point of life, even people close to me stealing from me and doing everything. I have no trust for anybody. Now, mind you, if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, Michael Beasley was on an interview. I forgot what the name of the podcast was, but just look it up. He was with three other NFL players on this panel. Ryan Clark, I believe, was the host. There was Channing Crowder, and there was Fred Taylor. And those three men, along with Michael Beasley, on the same place being interviewed, when he said all this in his angry way, he began to cry. And he said, nobody is hearing that. I'm out here saying, I need help. Now, the way he was saying it, I'm wondering which one of those naysayers that talked about Christian Keys would have said something to him at that moment. Because he's actually saying, I am on the brink. So what I do, I just stay back in my little isolated room and I watch everybody living my life and saying what I am for me. Because nobody's listening to me. And I deal with what I'm feeling by myself. And that was when the most amazing thing happened, because this is what I'm telling you, men. We need you to be the ones to put the final approval so that these men who are seeking help can do so safely and freely and without feeling like they're something's wrong with them because you said so. I believe it was Ryan Clark that came to him and said, no, 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 that is not what you do. That is the worst thing to do, to isolate yourself from the world because you, with your demons and your thoughts and your feelings. I'm in this game too. I'm on the NFL side, but I've been in here for more than two decades too. I'm married with children. That's one, my oldest one is over two decades old. And I know what it's like. I know what it means that you can't even drop your keys accidentally and curse because you hit your toe before somebody's got it on a tabloid. But the worst thing you could do is isolate yourself in a room away from the world with those thoughts and feelings. What you do is understand that we need to look out for each other. You need to lean on me when you're feeling bad. Come play with me and my kids. Come sit at my table, brother. I got you. That's what's supposed to be said. Because then you guys are not listening to us. You don't trust anybody because of what happened to you if you were a sexual victim. You trust nobody because the people that you thought you could turn to, that you could say it in the man code type of way, is telling you that, oh, get out of here with that. Don't tell me that. You're an embarrassment. And you're believing it because these are the guys that are supposed to be your equals, your peers, your bros. You're the ones that understand you. And they're telling you everything that we women are saying in opposite. We got you. And when you say no, that you're not going to do it, and we're still watching you suffer, we have to take on the role that you vacate so we could keep you together for when you come back, while we're still handling our own sadness about what we're seeing, while we're taking whatever violent outburst you had because you can't handle it, to try to save ourselves in case you're dealing with a PTSD problem or a bipolar episode or a manic depressive episode or you're having a schizophrenic meltdown. We're the ones that you take it out on first because you don't know what you're doing or you don't know who else to go to that's going to be safe. We're the ones that's supposed to love you and we'll take it, right? If we can't handle our process, our own fears, and our own recover from what just happened from the person that's our partner in our life, we're broken too. But we can't say we're broken. We have to stay mended. We got to keep sewing up them rips so we can keep you together because you have to get it together and come back to where you're supposed to be. And while we're trying to hold you off so that you don't go rumbling through the house to the rest of them, we have to say, please, baby, we love you. Stop. You're hurting yourself. Oh, my God, you're about to hit us. Don't do that, please. And while we're holding you off with one hand, we got to hold the kids off from the other side with the other hand. And we still got to figure out that when one person throws a bottle this way, we've got to duck in the middle so we can still be here and come back up. Metaphorically speaking and physically and literally speaking. There is only so much that loved ones can do for you. But if you're going to say that after everything you know us to be trustworthy for, because you can't trust yourself and because the men out there that were supposed to have your back first told you, get out of here. We don't believe that. That's stupid. You're not a man. You're not this. Because you believe that. Everybody is a problem. Now we have to hear the hurt that you said, guess what? You're not trustworthy either. So get out of here. So I'm going to go back to doing it my way. Because for you to tell me that I need to go get help, you're trying to get me embarrassed. Kirk Franklin, everybody saw his documentary. He wasn't sexually molested. His parents lied to him. His mom lied to him. He was grown up with a father. He was told was his father that hated him. And he, in his adult life, had to come to grips with his truth. So he thought, only to find out that his real father had been living 5 minutes away from him his whole life and was a great man that didn't know about him and loved him. And his real father, when the DNA results came out, allowed him to see him cry because he was hurt and let him cry and hug him and tell him, it's okay. I got your back. I feel what you feel. I got you. You need a hug? Come over here, son. You're still a man and I love you to death. And then after that happened, he was able to go to his own son and say, I realize that in my own pain, I was unable to properly show you the love you needed to have from me, son, because I was lacking it from my own world. And because his real father and a real man said, real men do cry. Real men do get weak a little sometimes. Real men do need support. And we hurt. And damn it, it hurts. And you're okay to say that. And when you are doubting yourself, hey, come over here and I got you. I'm going to hug you. I'm going to get you back up and then I'm going to send you back out on your way, stronger than ever. You can still go out there and be a man. And if you need to come back and be a little boy for a minute, dad got you. Now go out there and do what you got to do. Because if that was what was going on, mental health in men would be addressed a lot quicker. Say what you want. I need to take a commercial break. I'm going to open up the panel. If you are listening live stream and you have something you want to contribute, please call the number 347-327-9967. In case I said that too quickly, 347-327-9967. Please press 1 because just sitting on the queue, I'm not going to know you want to speak. Okay? Don't go away. I'll be right back, guys.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with K.D. Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with K.D. Barnett and friends. I am your host, K.D. Barnett. I got a lot of people sitting up here telling me what an intense show it is. Don't just be over there. You can call in and say something yourself. You're welcome to. Men, you're welcome to call in today, too, but I'm definitely letting you know that, women, I need you to step up and reassure our brothers out there, you know, and I'm not saying brothers just racially today. I'm speaking brothers in arms at this point. You know, call in, please, and let them know. We encourage them to come forth because we need them. Let me tell you something else that's happening, fellas. We also have to deal with the fact that when you start feeling down, you start to escalate from just being angry in words or drunk or hitting the substances or fighting more or doing whatever it is that you do with the fact that you get sexually aggressive. You know, you start finding ways, turn something that's supposed to be either fun or intimate into something that during your rage and your anger, you take that out as a power fit. And that is not something that should be anything that it is that you're doing. PTSD, especially coming out of the army, I understand that. That one to me is a little bit tricky because I honestly can say it angers me more that the government that recruits you and drafts you and sends you out there then sort of discards you and dismisses the very thing that will happen to many people who go out there to a foreign country and see things they've never seen before in person that they can only imagine happens in Hollywood movies. And they're there to witness it firsthand. And usually it's to one of their teammates or their troop mates, if you know what I'm saying. And sometimes it's not even on the war grounds. It's right in boot camp. So they're dealing with that on top of whatever it is that they saw happen during battle. And then you give these guys an award and a medal and you have them with the parade and the fanfare, but they got to go home to their wives. And the first time they hear a door slam too hard, they're jumping and ready to choke their wives, thinking they're in battle. And for the longest time, it took them a very long time for the government to acknowledge that, compensate the treatment for that, and say, hey, wait, you did this for us. Let us make sure you're okay on the way back. That has to be a hell on you when you're not in an episode of PTSD. Now, I want to bring up something else because, women, this is something that you need to do to reassure yourself and to be aware of some things. Those of you that are soap opera fans, Maurice Bernard, that's his name. He played Sonny Corinthos for so many years on the show. Nico Kelly, if you're an All My Children fan. And he is a very known and famous spokesperson for advocating for men addressing and treating their mental health concerns and struggles without shame, because he suffers with bipolar disorder. He did not know about it. He just knew he was very angry as a kid, and he had three major meltdowns or breakdowns that actually, while he was the victim of it or the person suffering with it, what manifested from his episodes actually was dangerous to the people around him, to the point where he was going nuts for a good 20 to 30 minutes without anybody being able to move away from him until he either dozed off or finally in his own mind was able to connect with reality and calm down so that they can call a psychiatric ward to get him taken in and treated. He's been on lithium for more than 25 years, according to what he says, but he has a podcast about it. Check out his Instagram, where he spoke about why it was important for him to go get it. He threw a bottle at his wife, not even realizing it was wife he was talking about. He started hearing voices in his head that was making him confess to his wife about things that he did. And when it was over, he sort of stared at her and picked up a champagne bottle or a wine bottle and threw the bottle at her. It broke when she was finally able to get him to calm down and snooze off. She went outside to go call paramedics to bring him in. And when she came back in from the phone call, he had woken up and had the broken bottle pointing at her and hovering over her with it in an episode. So he had to explain that that is something that can hurt your loved ones. And that is something we women got to deal with as well. Because this woman had to sit there with a man she loved and had been married to for quite some time through his thick and his thin, to hear him admit that in episodes when he was going off and going, that he had been through strip clubs with other women, not even realizing he was there doing that. And I know a lot of you not so mature men listening in is going to be like, oh, yeah, right, that's the excuse he's used, that's the excuse I'm going to use with mine. Listen, get over yourselves with the nonsense. And she cried and had to make the decision that I'm not going to handle this. She could have. That is another thing we have to deal with. Then we have to sit there at that crossroads and go, it's not his fault what he's doing because he has an illness. But however, even with that not being, the way that it's manifested, the way that he's dealing with it is becoming a danger to myself and to the children. But if I leave him, I'm leaving him in his time of need. What do I do? Remember, we are traumatized from it too, but we don't have the luxury of addressing our own trauma. Because we don't have the right to be adults that can think for ourselves and think about something in the moment, because too much is happening too quickly. And we in that whole spinning tornado of a moment, we've got to pick out of the funnel, okay, well, my husband or my man or my mate, he's breaking down with an illness he can't control, but even though he can't control it, some real physical stuff is happening that's dangerous to us. What do we do? Do I leave him? Do I go? I don't know. The children are here. What do I do? Do I stay? Do I go? I don't know. My son is watching this and thinking, what, you know, looking at me to see if it's okay to do to his girlfriend one day. I don't know what to do. But if I leave him, I'm going to look like a person who was horrible and didn't honor my vows. So what do I do? And meanwhile, we got to wait for you guys to go, well, you know what, if I go forth, then my brothers are going to think something of me. They're not in your life. Your wife and your kids are. We are. We, us, we're holding you down. All them guys that you're high-fiving, that you're rubbing elbows with, that you're comparing stories to, that you're fighting with, that you're sparring with, when it comes down to this, you have to ask yourself, how many of those guys will be there then? If you do get cancer and start losing your hair and throwing up and getting skinny, will they be there then? That is a question about your friends, but your wife is here, but your kids are here. You know the answer, but we still have to hear you say, yeah, you're just as bad as the rest of them because you want me to do this, because you can't deal with your internal fear of coming forth. We're here telling you that we respect you, that you going forth is every bit of manhood as everything else. And actually, doing this is so much of a manhood and it's actually productive for you. And if you guys are saying in your need to be, have an excuse not to do it, not to deal with that uncomfortable thing, not to have to deal with the fact that you need help, are saying, well, the only reason why it's happening is because you ladies are saying it's kind of cool or you're not telling us. But we're telling you it's real cool. And please go do it. And you're still not going. And you're worse than ever because more and more and more it's happening. More and more and more, whatever's going on with you is an address and it's getting worse. And we only have but so much expertise and ability to help you through it. This particular thing is not one of those things you can quit cold turkey and you'll be fine. This is not smoking. This is not a drug addict, a drug addiction. This is not a coffee habit. This is not something that with just a little bit of support and we can distract you from smoking and we could take you away from that drink or we could pour the wine bottle down. This is not that type of solution. That is not an option. This one, you're going to have to go through the ugly walk. You're going to have to face all the ugly things so that you can start to see with the right proper help that that's the monster that did this to you, that you aren't the problem. That this thing didn't happen because you made it happen. That we love the person we know you are without this. Can you please hear this? Men, you have a job. You have to be the men in your children's lives. You have to be your wife's partner. You have to put your place in the communities as that you're supposed to be, so that the society that's going all crazy telling your kids that there is no such thing as them having any type of transition protection from things that they're going to have to deal with as sooner than they think as an adult, but they're taking you, the parents' rights away from slowly and properly and securely transitioning your children the right way into that world of adulthood, they're taking all of that away and your kids are gone before you know it. A whole fraction of a mess. Because as hard as you're trying to be this old school value packed parent, they're saying what values? Just turn on channel 13, even Elmo's gay. Just turn on, you know, channel 9 and you could see girls that are 14 telling their parents that they're going to go out and have sex with any guy they want. And their parents are up at the school going, hey, just go in that bowl and pick any color condom or type of pill you want. Yeah, you got to read the fine print about what could happen if you take this. You got to be there, man, to sit there and help us because we need a break too. We need to get ourselves together so we could be in our rightful place. So you and I could be that team we're supposed to be and be like, no, 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 you're not cracking either one of us. You need to be in your rightful place so you could finally tell that monster that did this to you, I'm not what you tried to make me. And my woman is sitting right here telling me that already, but now that I can say it, she's saying it with me, so now two of us are screaming out saying it to you. Try me now. And guess what? The next time I get a nightmare from what you did, I've got a place to go, and I'm going to be right back where I'm at right now. Doesn't that sound a whole lot more cool than you talking about, yeah, if I told this guy who don't have a wife, no teeth, or anything else, that, you know, I did this, he might tell everybody, and it's going to be a laughter. I'm not pausing for dramatic effect. I really want you guys to sink that in. You have sons that are watching you go nuts for yourself, go nuts on their mom, go nuts on the house, tearing up everything, not because you're mad at us, but because you don't know what to do with that rage that your bros are telling you you can't handle. When there's plenty of ways to go and reach out for help when nobody has to know who you are. Where after that, you can go sit in your closet and talk to the man up in heaven that don't even come down here to tell anybody anything, but already knows what you're going through. He's waiting for you to ask for help. He already gave you a woman that's standing by you and kids that want you to be okay. But remember, what are you going to tell your sons if this should happen to him? That the bro code is you deal with that as a six-year-old rape victim and you don't deal with it because it's not the thing to do. Because the bros might know. And women, if you are out there telling your man that he's not good enough because, you know, the job he got isn't big enough for you, you're not a real woman. And I'll say that to you as a real woman. And whatever little materialistic, superficial stuff that validates you, you need to go to therapy and check yourself and figure out what hole you need filled the right way and stop putting it on these guys to do it for you. Because we need them back in their rightful spots so that all the extra work we're taking on, we can give it back to them and show them how it's done so that they can remember and get back to where they're supposed to be. Because we can't keep doing this. We can't keep doing it. There's only so many hands and hats we can carry. We're already most of the time doing 100% of the work with 50% of the arsenals of our 50%, and then we're only getting 10 or 15% of their 50%, so we're trying to figure out how to kind of be a fill-in-the-man side part, too. You women walking about there talking about, I don't care, that guy walked away, I'm my son's mom and dad. The hell you are. No matter what dress or suit you put on, no matter how many times you lift 250 pounds of barbells, you are not a man in your son's life. You can't get into his man's psyche to explain why is it that everybody's putting so much credence on how many muscles you have by the time you're 15. Or why is it that as good as you are, that pretty girl down the block still wants the guy that treats her like she's a mess. You can't tell her that, him that. You can't explain to him that he's still a man and he's still worth it because, you know, Sally down the road didn't look at him like he wanted her to look at him. You can't do that. You can only say it from a woman's standpoint. Oh, honey, you're our son, and you don't have to worry about it because you know what? The right person will come for you. Yes, that works. But the same way we Christians always say we know God got our back and God has a plan, God even understands that sometimes that's not enough. We need to see, feel, and touch somebody to help us get through it. So women, we are being abstract men in their absence. While we're also trying to be full-time moms, we have to be the perfect, proper woman example that our girls are going to grow up to be and our boys are going to be there, are going to accept in their lives. But men, you are your daughter's first man. You are your son's first example. And if you are not together, you can't do your job. And no other man is in your place running your family. You are. And half of them that are giving you this crazy advice, if you took apart their lives, it's worse than yours, and they don't know what to do with it. So if you guys, it's not us that you're looking for approval for to go do this. It's your own people. You men need to step up. Help out a sister here. Help a sister out. You all are mad because you walk around, all these girls are walking around with this independent woman syndrome. Who the hell do you think made us come up with it? We didn't all just get together and have a country club meeting or an HOA board meeting and come up with some rules and say, hey, today we're just going to have kids and we're going to push the men out for no reason. And I get it. Some of these sisters don't understand what it means to cherish independent woman syndrome. They don't know what it means. It didn't mean eliminate the men syndrome. It meant that we could hold ourselves down just in case you guys flip out again. If you walk away, we're not totally desolate or destitute. We can handle a little something, something. But this isn't on us this time, men. This is not on us. You cannot blame this on us because we're here telling you we got your back. You can't do the Adam to Eve thing. We didn't make you take this by the bite of this apple. This one is on you. And we need you back on track. And whether you are a husband or a wife, if you're not even involved in a relationship, if you know you have issues, if you know there is something that is knocking you off your balance, go get help because you are a pillar of the community. You are a fixture in the community, in the particular part of the community that is important to making it a balanced and well-protected community. This time around, your hesitance is not on what a woman thinks. This time around, we're not the ones that's telling you therapy don't look cool. Oh, we don't deal with you. No. That's your brothers. That's those same guys that half of you will leave your wives for in search of something that's a greener grass because your brothers, your single friends told you so. And your single friends told you so because they want the woman that they're trying to get you to cheat on. And then when the mental problems from that comes up, they're going to leave you stranded right there and ridicule you in the process. Not on a woman this time. Now the ball is totally in your court. And not because we pushed it back to you, but because it's not our ball. It's yours. We're not even allowed in that country club. That's on you. I am encouraging you guys. We have 23 minutes left in this broadcast. Women, if you have anything that you want to contribute to our men, your man, your sons, please call 347-327-9967. To those of you men that are out there, you're welcome to call in and say how you feel on either what I'm saying or what it is you're going through. If you guys are going through something yourself, believe me, you could call in. Nobody could see your face, and you can share your story safely and comfortably with no judgment. And to those of my amazing regular guys that come in here and speak for your community, you are welcome to call in, please, and add your sense while you're here. Because it'll be welcome. So with that being said, I want to go to a couple of things that I would like to say. We are going to be upgrading very soon. We're in the process of it now. And we're going to be upgrading to doing a YouTube channel and Instagram live channel soon. And, you know, my youngster people around me are trying to get me hip on the TikTok thing. I'm really not. But I will be doing what they kindly let me in and let them know that we're doing video reels beforehand. Now, I'm just starting. I've been starting the reels only because a lot of things that I want to explain that's happening or want to inform you of, sometimes typing it, people don't stop to look at long posts. So I'm just saying it. And besides that, you could see me and, you know, you can know what I'm saying straight up and pretty much give you a little verbal summary of what's going on and what's to come. And you guys will have a more personal, in-depth type of preview as to what is going to be spoken about. We're also working on a website where we're going to start including like our local business referrals. If you've got people around there that are running services, we're also going to be showing you how you can be a sponsor, whether you're an actual business or just a civilian that wants to be sponsored, or a small business like, you know, hair, doing out your house, or babysitting services. We want to support you that way, and you can have a, like, you know, an inexpensive sponsorship that'll help you get some things. We're also going to be opening, hopefully we getting our LLC together so we could start incorporating a lot of us in the community, our own people, you know, with our small businesses and restarting up our economy that way. So this is all the things that we're working on in the process. You know, thankfully I've been rejuvenated with creativity, I guess, with this, with coming up with stuff here. My health is starting to improve finally, you know, in ways where I'm sort of back to where I used to be. And not only that, a lot of insight has come from and going on. So many things are happening right now in full force. These wars, we know it's coming. Us Christians understand the prophetic value in it. But I really would love it if you guys would you know, be a part of it, because you all have, to see the numbers climbing again and to know that every time I'm off the air for whatever reason, you guys are so patient and so accommodating. And as soon as you've seen the studio light, green light is back on, everybody's coming back as if we never left. That to me is real cyber family, and that's how I feel with it. I'm not in this for likes. I'm not in this for subscriber counts, but if that should come along and whatever could come with it helps me actually get some community things up and running and my little bit can contribute to make it something better, I would rather do that. I will never sell out to high corporate stuff because corporate wants to whitewash, diminish, and shut things down. I can't do that because too many things are happening in the not-so-famous neighborhoods that they don't want to talk about, but they want to vote about. And we're the ones that are affected by it. And I can't see that as long as I have breath and an ability to not be able to do some small thing. You know, I just feel that way. With that being said, we are at 30,459 listeners as it stands. And no way you guys are coming from, but thank you. So now I also want to announce that we have a new Instagram page that you can start following. There's also a Twitter page that's been around for a while, but now we're actually going to start making it active. TikTok is coming soon. I don't know how to do all that stuff yet, and I'm not ashamed to say it. So I'm working on it because it's just something that's new, and I need to reach as many people as possible to see if there's anything that other people can help us with. So the Instagram page is very simple. It's www.instagram.com/realontheedgeshow, like the real thing, okay? One long word, Real on the Edge Show. That's us. You'll see me. So all you have to do, make sure that you click like so that I know that you're there, so I know what's up, because the reels will be posted there as well. And sometimes everybody's not on Facebook. And my kids are like, Mom, Facebook is like the dinosaur social media platform, so you're going to have to start getting with it. Okay, so I'm doing that. I still know Facebook first and foremost, but okay, I'll do that for that. But I don't really care if people are, you know, clicking like. You should, only so people know that, you know, you really do like it, but if you don't, listen, the people who are here are getting the substantial stuff I'm trying to put out. So I'm with that. And I'm humble because you guys make it worth coming back to and building up and doing again. And Terry, if you're out there listening, thank you for all of the broadcast media equipment stuff that you've been doing. And, okay. I'm not a shade thrower, and I'm not petty. But I know that a lot of you, even to this day, are actually touching on that little thing that took place where when I was interviewing the father whose son was bullied into practically almost to death, a lot of you reached out and said that you noticed that someone tried to jump on here and do a cheap marketing soundbite for something else. I don't think, you know, if that's what the person's opportunistic intention was, then it's sad because that person is pretty established in their own rights anyway. But that's what you all thought it was. I've never had any issues with this individual up until then, but I don't have any kind of, I don't have any envy toward anybody's success. I don't need anybody's, I have room to share anything, because what I think that anybody doesn't understand is that you could try to copy or duplicate or rip off the finished product, but for Katie, Katie's prototype is in her head. So whatever you think you can copy, I'll recreate my way, and you still won't know what's coming if that's what you're doing. It would be sad because this would be something that I've had in place for some time. And if that's what it was, if that's what it is, then it's sad for that person that if with everything you have, you feel the need to do that. But I do want to thank my very, very, very loyal supporters that are out there. Please understand, I do cherish you all that way. I don't see this thing as a, I'm just not materialistic that way. And I've got people going, do you know how much money you can make off of this? If the money comes, then God bless me with an added bonus. This here is just something I feel what we talk about, having a safe, open space for people who are going through it and maybe don't have another place to go to talk about it, being able to reach out and use my platform to help somebody else reach out. To me, what I throw out there from my heart, I believe will come back tenfold. And those of you keep coming back, those of you that felt the need that, you know, I don't really want to talk on the air, but I need to come off and say to you on the air that I thank you for what you're doing. Hey, that's like money in the bank for me. So I just wanted to say that. And I want to thank all of you, my God, the overwhelming response and support for my son's band music. Thank you for that, because you've been helping them get more confidence and wanting to do what they're doing more on a very positive manner for the kids of their age group that are going through it. I can't tell you how much all that you guys do mean, even the ones that come over here to give me hell. I just want to let you know I even welcome that, because it's, you know, unless you're being disrespectful, I welcome your debates. I welcome it, you know, and I can't say anything other than that. So my last and final obligation, sponsor break, and I'll be back to finish out the show. Okay, so thank you guys. Hang on a minute. We're going to go with R. Kelly and Celine Dion's Angel, because we want to support you men. We're going to go out with our sponsor break, and I'll be back to conclude.
Ha.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
You're listening to On the Edge.
And welcome back, everybody. We are down to our wire here. I want to shout out a very special person to me, my sister, Kina. Hi, baby. Thank you, my baby sister. She is listening. My sister from another mother, Christina, thank you for what you're doing. I shouted you out a little earlier for all of what you do with your beautiful soul out there while you're doing your Uber driving and stuff. You are the reason why this show happens, because this show is to celebrate all of you. My sister being out there doing what she does in her world, making people laugh and making people, you know, you make me proud. I want to be just like you when I grow up. So let's get down to this last 6 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. You amazing bunch, you. Thank you for supporting my son's band music. And you know that when we ask you for feedback, we want honesty, because that's the only way they can improve. And you guys have been honest, and it's been wonderful. And the consensus has been, with a little bit of rough edge criticism, you've been loving everything that we give you. So thank you for that. And they thank you as well. They beam when they hear that you loved it. I want to thank, again, Terry Banks, Muhammad. You boys, two real men from both sides of the age spectrum in men world that have been nonstop, amazing, substantial input and contributors to these discussions. Trayvon, I know you're out there. The things that you have said and how powerful you made it. Even Joe, you out there, you know, sometimes he tries to be contradictory, but he definitely is substantial in his things, and he just helps me get our stuff out a little more. So as long as everybody stays respectful, everybody is opinion is welcome, you know, and we can all discuss it together. But in this respect, ladies and gentlemen, even though I'm going to go out with my normal, you know, closing affirmation, be blessed, be a blessing, women, we have to keep standing up and letting our men know we got their back. But men, you have the final decision. And in this case, you are the weakest link. So you have to step up, because nothing we do is what they're trying to get approval from. It's you. You guys are the ones out there going, yo, wait, what do you mean therapy? No. Because you guys being down is a fireball avalanche going down to the people you love. You're not destroying anybody but the world you are supposed to be protecting. Your sons are watching you. Your daughters need you. Your wives need you. We need you. We're supposed to be the partners. We need you in your rightful game, because we can't be you and you can't be us. And it's, you don't have the damn right to sit there and keep putting us in this position to keep on picking up and trying to figure out how to save your legacy and protect your quality and defend you from all these people we already know is coming after you, and you're not even trying to do a damn thing for yourself because your silly-ass bros are sitting up there going, no, bro, I don't know. Your woman got you packed up. He's calling you packed. He's calling you whipped, but yet your brain is all over the place, and you don't know what to do with yourself. And I thank you, all you male celebrities that are coming out, knowing what you're about to receive and telling your stories and selling everybody. And Maurice Bernard, Sonny Corinthos from General Hospital, thank you for standing your ground and letting men know so openly, freely, and so confidently that it's okay sometimes to not be strong as men. It's okay to say, I need help, because that right there is the strongest thing you could do. Because when God built you, he built you to be strong and leaders. He didn't build you to put your, as you guys love saying when it fits you, helpers in your role. And I can't say anymore because I'm running down and then you're going to get into the end credits. So thank you all for being here. Thank you for making this series from start to finish one that was intense, amazing, substantial for me. I think that in this history, this is one of my favorites. And I hope that all of you that came here, both veteran listeners and new ones, are leaving with something more than what you came in with, and that it's something substantial. So until Monday night at 10 p.m., everybody, be blessed. Be a blessing. Make a difference. Get out there, women. Support yourself. Men, stop it and get out there and go and put your, pat your bros on the back the right way and get them back on track. And you too. We need you in your leadership roles. Okay? Thank you, guys. I will see you here Monday night at 10 p.m., barring any kind of problems with Blog Talk and the storm, okay? See you Monday, guys. God bless. Good night.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.